Hello, my name is Chelsea Stannard, and I'm 19 years old, and today is June 7th of 2021, and I'm recording this interview in Huntington Beach, California, and I'm speaking with my dad. Dad, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's John Stannard. I'm 58 years old.
You're 58? Okay, so thank you, Dad.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so my first question for you is, tell me about where you grew up.
Yeah, so I was born in London, England. And my parents lived in London. And I was born in London. I really didn't grow up in London because we moved out of London when I was like 2 years old. So there was a town called Bletchley, and they were developing a new city called Milton Keynes. And Milton Keynes was built to take the overspill from the population of London. After the war, a lot of the houses were bombed and there wasn't enough houses to accommodate the population that was growing up in London. So hence Milton Keynes, they were gonna develop, it was all countryside.
Yeah.
So within Milton Keynes, there was all these little towns. And the town that my parents moved to was Bletchley. So they were housed in Bletchley, and then eventually Milton Keynes grew up around Bletchley. So kind of now it's called Bletchley Milton Keynes. So that's where I grew up my whole life, was in Bletchley. So I moved when I was two, and we moved into a small flat while the houses were being built. And then my parents got on the waiting list to get a house. And so my sister, she was born a year after me. So my sister was born in the flat. And then right after that, we moved into the house. And then my brother, who's 4 years younger than myself,
yeah,
he was born in the house a year after we had moved in. So we had all, and up until last year, we remained in that house.
Yeah.
Like my mom and dad, that was the only house that they ever lived in. Mm-hmm. So my mom she was in that house for 56 years before she finally moved. So that's kind of where we grew up. And the first house we lived in and the second house we lived in, they were literally a few blocks away from each other. So we were in the same area. So all of the people we grew up with were all in our neighborhood. And a fun fact about Bletchley,
yeah,
is Bletchley Park. So we really didn't know what Bletchley Park was until it became a museum. And because Bletchley was 45 minutes train ride from London,
yeah,
all the civil servants would get on the train from London, go to Milton Keynes, and from the train station, they had this park set up, and that's where they developed the Enigma machine that ended the war, because they were able to decipher the code and intercept all of the German positions.
Wait, so you lived by that, like, museum?
Yeah, Bletchley Park. We didn't really know what it was until afterwards when they made it into a museum,
because
it was all secret. Mm-hmm. It was a secret because, no one really knew what was in there.
But they knew it was
it was something for the Ministry of Defense. But that's where, and actually if you want the movie to watch is Imitation Game, and that will talk, that actually is based on Bletchley Park and the Enigma machine. And actually we learned a lot about it when we went to Washington DC to the Spy Museum. They had a whole exhibit. I actually learned more about Bletchley Park in the Washington DC Spy Museum than I did when I was living in the town. And we used to walk, when we used to go from our house to the town center, we used to walk by the by that park.
All the time.
Because there were little huts, and there was a manor and huts, and no one really knew what they did there.
Did people like go on it, or you weren't allowed?
No, you weren't allowed. We eventually they turned it into a social club, and then eventually, you know, they turned it into a museum. So if you go there today, it's actually a museum.
Cool. Yeah. So you live like right by a museum?
It's like
how many blocks?
No, it's maybe like a mile.
Oh, nice.
A mile away.
Dang.
Yeah, because Bletchley's like just a small town.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can walk most places.
That's
cool. So anyway, that's kind of where I grew up. It was my childhood was all in Bletchley.
Mm.
And, yes. And obviously the schools that I went to were right close by. Wellsmead and Denby School were my two schools that I went to.
Wish I knew what those were.
Yeah.
So that
was a middle school.
Yeah.
And then high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember the name of
Can I ask you my next question?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, so what are some of your earliest memories growing up?
Yeah, so As I said, we lived in that house for so long. So,
like, how many bedrooms was it?
So our house was, so it's three bedrooms. So, okay. So my mom and dad.
But they were like small.
Really, really tiny.
Yeah.
And then my sister, she had the smallest room, and then my brother, and myself, we shared a room. We had one bathroom.
Dang.
One toilet, and yeah, there was a living room, a dining room, a small kitchen, but luckily we had, because we were on the corner, we had a big yard.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent a lot of time in the yard, you know, and our neighbors, we would actually, because David, it was the same age as me, so we would actually play.
Was David like your childhood friend?
He is one of my friends, so he lived next door.
Mm-hmm.
But on our street, there was every house had people my age, my sister's age, and my brother's age. So all the families seemed to have like three or four children, and they were all kind of spaced like 1, 2, 3, 4 years apart. So our whole block had just tons of kids. But anyway, so we used to be with our gardens, because in England, so all the houses are in a row, and all of the gardens are in a row. So what we used to do, we used to play tennis over our fence.
Oh, that's so cool.
In our garden, and then all we'd play soccer. You know, so we would spend a lot of time, you know, doing that in our backyard. But most of the stuff that we did was playing in the streets. I mean, because it's very safe.
Oh.
There was, you know, you'd get home from school and you'd go out. You play football, you play cricket, different games. You know, with your friends.
Yeah.
But did
you like walk to school with the kids, like on your block and all of that?
Yeah, we that's nice. Yeah. So our school was very close. So every morning, I'd knock at David's door, and then we'd walk to school together. And that was like for 4 years while we were in our, you know, high school, equivalent to high school.
Yeah.
But one of my earliest memories, it was when I got in a little bit of trouble.
Oh.
So I was telling you that our neighborhood was being developed, and they were building a lot of houses.
Yeah.
And they were building a big park and these new houses right around the corner. Well, I had a box of matches, and I was playing with some matches, and I lit a match. I dropped it, and it was on a building site, and the tarp caught fire. So I run home.
How old were you?
Oh, I was maybe 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I run home, lock myself in the bathroom, and then like about 20 minutes later, that there's a knock on the door. It's a policeman. And my dad answered, and he goes, is your son John home? And it's like, yeah, what's he done? It's like, oh, he had a little bit of an incident. He set fire to the building site. And luckily, the fire department showed up, put the fire out, so it wasn't too much damage, but I got in a lot of trouble for that.
Did your parents have to, like, pay for
it? No, I mean, it was, you know, I was grounded for a week when allowed out. I don't think they had to pay.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have a lot of money, so I don't know how we would have been able to afford to pay for it. But yeah,
did you just ran and locked yourself
in the bathroom because I was scared. Yeah, I mean, that's true. And of course, everyone knows because it's a small community.
Yeah,
everyone knows everyone, and it's that blonde-haired boy who lives at 127 Middlesex Drive, and saw the policeman. You know, they showed up at the door.
Did that scar you a little bit?
When they're knocking on the door and then it's like you have to come down, but you're eight, and it was you're just shaking and you know, your dad's mad at you and you just didn't know what was going to happen because when it started going up, oh my God, there's tractors in there, there was all equipment and you know, so it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of my earliest memories.
Okay, so on to my next question. Yeah. What do you remember most about your parents growing up?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I remember my parents were, they both worked. So my mum would work, she was a seamstress, so she would go to work in the morning, and then my dad would work the night shift.
Oh, okay.
So,
what did your dad do?
He worked in a plastics. He was a supervisor. So they made plastic molds, but they worked really hard. Dad worked nights pretty much most of the time, because that worked for them. They could, mum could work, days. He could work nights, and so someone would always be home, for the children. Every year we would always go camping.
Oh, nice.
So I always remember our camping trips. So they would, we'd pack all of our equipment in and we'd normally go to Cornwall or Wales camping.
Oh, nice.
And even though we went there every year, my dad would always get lost. And I never forget one time there was my mum and dad, there's the three of us in the back, all of our camping equipment, and my dad stopped at a gas station, a petrol station in England. So he stopped at a gas station, and he was asking some guy, how do I get to this place we were going?
Yeah.
And the guy was obviously been out from the pub and he'd been drinking, and he goes, well, I'm going that way if you want me to show you. And so here we are, three little kids in the back, and this stranger gets in the back and gave us,
when it was normal, right, to do that stuff?
He gave us directions, dropped us off, where he dropped him off, and he goes, just keep going down the street and, take this road and that road and you'll be at your campground. But my dad would always get lost, even though we kind of went in the same area.
Yeah.
He would always, and then of course, my mum and dad would be arguing. And back then, you don't have GPS. You have a map. And then what they would do is, when you get to, like, the pub, the Fox and Hounds, make a left and go two roundabouts over, and then make a right on the A5 going south,
He would always get lost.
Yeah. And then, because we'd always go at night, so he'd be driving in the dark. Because it was better to go at night, so they wanted to get there in the morning, so they try to avoid, the traffic jams.
Yeah.
Because, everyone's going to the coast.
On the weekends?
When you're on holiday. Yeah.
That's true. Did you and your family have any cool traditions, and if so, what were they?
Yeah, so the biggest tradition that we had was, one of them was every Sunday we'd always have a roast dinner, so the family would always sit down, it used to be like 1 o'clock, was every Sunday would be a roast dinner. So it one week it'd be roast chicken, then it'd be roast pork, roast lamb, roast beef, and then they would rotate it. But that was very traditional. And every Sunday, and most people in England would sit down for a roast dinner.
Was it just like your family, like your whole extended family?
No, it was just us. Okay. And then if we would go to see our cousins, then we would go and see our grandparents, that then they would cook. But wherever you went, as if on a Sunday, it was always a roast dinner. So a lot of them, I remember, when we went to London, my grandma, she would always do a roast, and that was always big. So yeah. I always my granddad they'd always go to the pub, and as a kid we'd always get a shandy. So you get like a lemonade with 7-Up and a little bit of beer, and you was like you thought you was really cool because you was drinking out the same glass as your dad and your grandpa. And you like, you're a young kid, so you have a bag of chips, and you think you're drinking a beer, which is like a shandy. So that was big. I mean, roast dinners, everyone said, I make the best roast potatoes, I make the best Yorkshire puddings, but my grandma used to make the best potatoes. They were always crunchy and soft in the middle. My dad made the best gravy. So it was, I mean, Sunday dinners were always good.
Yeah. What was your favorite thing?
I like roast lamb. Roast lamb, and then we got the mint jelly.
And then
the roast potatoes. That was my, I can't duplicate the way they make roast potatoes because I think it's the fat that they cook in it.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think if you use duck fat here, it mostly be as good, but that mostly not very healthy.
Yeah.
But and then Christmas holidays, and then when I was really small, Sunday school, we'd have to go.
We have to
dress up and go to Sunday school. me, my brother, my sister, would all dress up, in our little shorts and our shoes and our tie, and we have to go to Sunday school. That was when we were really small.
Were your parents really religious, or?
No, but they want, but the upbringing, they want you to go to Sunday school, go to church.
Yeah.
You know, and then as you get older, you got to make your own choice whether you wanted to go.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So what did you want to be when you were growing up?
Yeah, so I wanted to be a carpenter. So I always used to enjoy woodwork.
In school,
we had these classes where you do woodwork, metalwork, and some of my last year I took woodwork and I made a garden bench. So they had a really nice wood workshop, so I got to do that. So that's what I wanted to do was to work as a carpenter, but I never did get that opportunity. Yeah, so I ended up I still went in to make things because I done an apprenticeship as a machinist, so I got to. So doing stuff in wood, I got to work in metal, steel and aluminum, and whatnot.
That's cool. You can always do that, the woodwork now,
as a side.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
What was your first job and how did it go?
Yeah, so my very, very first job, and I think most people in England as a young boy, it was a paper boy.
Okay, so I remember this,
so what you do, you had a bike, so you go up, get up early in the morning, go and get your papers, and then you'd go and deliver papers to people's houses.
Yeah.
And so that was my first job, and then so that was in the mornings, and then on a Thursday evening I worked a mobile grocery van. So me and David, my next door neighbor, So we used to work on the trucks. What we would do is we'd go and knock at that. So we had a route. We'd go around, you know, the same customers, knock on their door, and take their order. So, you know, want potatoes, bananas, apples, mushrooms. We'd take their order. We'd go back to the truck, give the order to the guy who run the truck. He'd fill the basket up. Then we'd deliver the basket.
That's cool.
Yeah, and so we would do that if it was raining or snowing. I mean, it's cold in England, so.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
But we made good money because everyone, we were young, yeah?
Yeah.
So everyone would give you, like, really good tips.
Like, how young were you?
Oh, we were, like, we would be, like, 12.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 12, yeah. 13, 14. So we've done it for a few years.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a great job, you know.
That sounds kind of
fun. So that was my first, you know, school jobs. And then after I got left school, I got my apprenticeship.
Yeah.
But before that, I got to work with my dad. He got me a job. So for like 6 months, I would work with my dad. I got to work with him, and that was a lot of fun. I was able to make some money before I started my apprenticeship.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Did you save up all that money for that?
I did, because I was making more money doing that job than I was when I started my apprenticeship.
Oh,
wow. I actually remember my first year, my apprenticeship, I was making $32 a week. I mean, £32 a week.
Oh.
Yeah. £32 a week.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really low.
Yeah. I know, but that was a long time
ago. Yeah, that's true. That was a long time.
That was actually 1979 when I got my first. That was my first job. You know, started my apprenticeship.
Yeah.
In 1979.
Nice. Yeah. Ooh. Okay. So, what do you miss most about back home in England?
Yeah, I miss. There's a lot of things I miss, but mostly, you know, your family.
Yeah.
You know your mom, you know, my dad, and then your brother, and then the family functions, not being, you know, part of that, and then traditions, you know, like the Sunday dinners, pubs, the social aspect of the pub, and then football, going to football games.
Yeah,
I mean, because that's why when Arsenal come here, that's why I always take you to see it.
That's fun.
But you imagine going in England.
But it's nothing compared to
No, there's like 65,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, you get, we where we lived in Bletchley, we get on the train within an hour, be at the soccer match, and that was always a fun day out. So they're the main things that I miss.
Yeah.
You know.
What's one story I don't know about you?
One story?
Yeah.
Oh, man, there's so many.
Make it a juicy one.
Oh, no, I can't. Okay, because people are listening to this. So, so when we were 12, I think it was 11 or 12, we were just, before we went to high school, we were part of a soccer team, so... Our team had a co-sponsor with a team in Sweden called Gothenburg. So we went, where it was like a little tournament.
Yeah.
So we went to take a trip to Gothenburg, Sweden, which was pretty, you know, you're 11, 12 years old.
Yeah.
And so we took a ship from England to Sweden. And so on the ship, we were sleeping on the bottom level, and you have to go across the North Sea, which is pretty rough, to get to Gothenburg in Sweden. Well, anyway, it was really rough. It was like the ship was just going up and down, and we were all in bed trying to sleep, and it was nearly impossible.
Yeah.
But we started smelling smoke.
Oh, God.
There was a fire in the engine room. So everyone, the alarm went off. Everyone had to evacuate. And we went up on the top deck. And the boat's like rocking up and down. Tables are sliding. and we ended up having to sleep the whole night on the floor of the top of the boat because there was a fire downstairs in the engine room. I mean, everything was okay. Yeah. It was just
that. Were you like in the middle of the
all the cat? Yeah, we're in the middle of the ocean. It was at night.
Yeah.
And you can't really see much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And all you're going up and down, and then you've got that smell, and everyone's like feeling, you know, you think that we're gonna, this is the Titanic. We didn't have an iceberg, yeah. But we and that was scary.
What, like, was this in the summertime or?
No, I don't remember. It was most probably after school. You know, so it would have been.
Was that like common? June, July. To like go on.
Trips? Yeah, we would go on trips. So we would go like 1 year. We went camping to Wales, like the sports teams.
Yeah.
So we were part of the soccer team, football team. Yeah. So we would go on trips. So we 1 year we went to Wales, a camping trip where we went up. We actually hiked up Mount Snowdon, but we stayed out in a field. Yeah, we'd wash in a stream. We'd go hiking. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was 1 year, and then this other year was the one we went to Sweden, which was fun, where the boat, where the ship caught fire. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about someone who had a big influence on your life growing up? And can you tell me about some important lessons that person has taught you?
Yeah, so I think my mentor and biggest influence for me in my career was my old boss, Gene Price, at Breck Manufacturing.
Yeah.
He was the person that gave me my first big opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really a role model for me, because he rewarded hard work, he wanted loyalty, he wanted honesty, mm-hmm. he wanted integrity, he wanted hard work, and you know, if you done all of them things,
yeah,
you know, I got rewarded, and we were able to, you know, to grow the company, and so they were really, really good values.
That's
that
good.
They installed in me, and then, you know, treating people with respect, giving the customer what they want, you know, always being on time, do what you say you're gonna do. You know, deliver to your commitment. Yeah. Don't overpromise stuff and underperform. Yeah. You know, that all of them things that he said we had to do and do them right would enable the company to grow, and also as a person enabled you to grow because you developed that skill set. Mm-hmm. And then you taught that to the other people that you took under your wings, and so that was really important lesson for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tried to tell you guys. You know, that's why you got to be punctual. You got to be, you know, you've got to be committed. You've got to find something that you're passionate about, because that, if you like something and you enjoy doing it, you're gonna do it well. I mean, you don't want to go through the motions, because it you don't get self satisfaction.
Yeah.
But so if you find something you really enjoy doing, you're gonna be good at it. You're gonna want to learn. You want to be the best you can be, and you're gonna get a lot of satisfaction out of it.
Yeah.
But rather than just doing something, I'm just doing this just because.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, that's important to find.
Yeah, I agree.
Something that you're passionate about, and that's what, you know, that's what Gene taught me. It's like, look, you know, mm-hmm. if you're going to be passionate, this is what you want to do. You got to be all in.
Yeah.
And there's no being on the fence. You got to be all in. You know, so that was.
That's good.
Yeah, that was some of the things that he taught me.
Yeah. Did he like open your eyes to all of that? Compared to before. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, before, you know, but it's having someone to give you that opportunity.
Yeah.
And wanting to trust you and teach you You know, so a lot of the times you've got to be at the right, you've got to be in the right place at the right time as well.
I agree.
You know, and then that's why you've always got to be open to opportunities. If you're not open to opportunities, that opportunity may never come. So you've also got to challenge yourself, and don't be just stuck on doing one thing. You've got to challenge yourself, because if you don't, you never know where that next opportunity is or that next person. You know, like, you know, you establish a new relationship, and you make the chemistry between you and that person may be so good that they want to take a chance with you.
Yeah.
And that's why you've always got to keep challenging yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know where the next opportunity is going to come from. Mm-hmm. So you've always got to be pushing yourself.
I'll ask one last question.
Okay.
Which question do you like better?
That's fine. Just
anyone? Okay. What do you enjoy most about being a father?
That's a tough one, yeah. I mean, so for me, I think it's seeing your children grow, mm-hmm. mature, develop, and watching as you're growing up, as a child, seeing things, when you see something for the first time, or you do something for the first time, just seeing your expression on your face, where you got no bias, and it's like you're so open, you want to learn, and just seeing the joy on your face. Like, so when you go to the zoo for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or you do something, or you see something for the first time. It's just that expression on your face is just amazing. And then, you know, all of the birthdays, you know, the graduations.
Oh, the celebrations.
You know, celebrating successes.
Yeah,
like all your achievements, because then you get a little bit of self-satisfaction. You think, you know what, I think we've done a good job, you know, raising your children. When you see that they've been rewarded for successes, but mainly it's just seeing, you know, you and Nicholas develop and grow into the people you are now. That's what makes you the proudest.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, you never know, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough out there today, you know. So
yeah.
You know, and everyone's different. But, you know, and then seeing the choices that you make, you know, what the friends that you have, you know, your hobbies, all of that. And you know, you think, oh, you know what? That's enjoyable, seeing that.
Okay. Thank you so much for letting me interview you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
That was good.
Thank you, Dad.
Okay, you're welcome, too.